Brooklands Radio Surrey News Review for Friday the 31st of March, a look at the week's local news in Surrey. I'm Graham Laycock, and at the Surrey Advertiser News Desk is journalist Charlotte Talbot to discuss this week's local news stories. And first look at this week's headlines. Residents feeling vulnerable as a final borough's streets lights are turned off. A man found in a lake had been at St Peter's A&E. And a traffic survey leads to fears over monitoring. All these stories and more as I'm joined by Charlotte now. Good afternoon.
Hi, Graham.
Hello. Shall we start then when this resident's feeling vulnerable? The last of the street lights have gone off overnight.
Yeah, you would have heard about this county-wide rollout by Surrey County Council. They're basically turning the streetlights off in most roads across the county from midnight to 5 a.m. This is kind of in all roads that aren't main roads, and there was a consultation where people could apply to have their streetlights left on in certain circumstances. So this has been going on for the last couple of months, and roads in Runnymede and Spelthorne were some of the latest boroughs to be affected by the changes. And that was last Friday. They started turning the lights off between those times, and people really started noticing, obviously, on a weekend, people were coming back a bit later than they would normally, and also people on shift work coming home and noticing it. So we've spoken to some residents who live in those boroughs. Also, the final kind of intake of boroughs included Woking and Tandridge, as well as Runnymede and Spelthorne. And as I say, we've spoken to some people who live in the area who basically just talked about they don't really feel quite as safe as they did. It's made them feel quite vulnerable. One Ashford resident, Louisa Crawley, said she actually works shifts, and coming out of her house at 4 a.m. in the pitch black is quite a scary thing, makes her feel quite vulnerable. And she doesn't want to be kind of walking to her car too far down the road because it is pitch black when she goes out there. So it's obviously two sides to everything. The council say that it's going to save them a lot of money, £210,000 to be precise. And they also hope the policy is going to kind of reduce carbon emissions and light pollution in the county as well. And they have said that they've worked with Surrey Police to kind of look at the different risk factors. I think a lot of it is to do with kind of fear of crime rather than actual crime. Obviously, we don't know whether at the moment it's going to kind of have any impact on the amount of crime that's going to be taking place, but it's kind of about that, how people feel when they leave the house or get home in the dark, essentially.
Yeah, indeed. £210,000 doesn't sound a huge saving. Is that the whole of Surrey?
Yeah, exactly. Yes, it is, yeah.
Really? Yeah, because I think...
Presumably per year, but...
Yeah, yes, absolutely. But, yeah. Of course, they did, anyway, put all this much more energy-efficient lighting in over
they
the
did,
recent
yeah.
years, didn't they? And they already dimmed them overnight anyway, so...
Yeah, exactly. It's the next step in that.
Mm, indeed.
So we'll see if it has...
yes, I suppose it's going to be...
it has.
Yeah, I suppose only time's going to tell, isn't it, what the statistics reveal.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, a man found in a lake had been at St Peter's A&E.
Yeah, it's a sad story here, but St Peter's Hospital has now confirmed that a man who attended A&E just hours before, he was found in a lake nearby. And police received reports of the missing man from St Peter's at around 4:50 p.m. last Thursday. There was a big police search just outside the Chertsey-based hospital. There was a lot of police cars and ambulances seen just at the roundabout outside the hospital near the Hillswood Business Park. And eyewitnesses said they saw paramedics performing CPR near the hospital entrance and that the man had been declared dead at hospital. We were chasing a comment from the hospital for a while, and they've now confirmed, as I say, that he had attended the emergency department before he was found dead. In such tragic circumstances, and they've obviously passed on their sympathies to the family. Police have said the circumstances around the death are not believed to be suspicious, and that the matter has now been passed on to the coroner. So the full story there in our Runnymede and Spelthorne Surrey Advertiser this week.
Right, okay. Now, cruelty to animals in the southeast is on the increase.
Yeah, shocking details of animal abuse have emerged as the RSPCA released its annual statistics highlighting the huge number of cases. Surrey has actually come out fifth highest in the number of complaints in the South East. And the report shows with 2,419 cases of animal cruelty reported in 2016. That's an increase of 0.16% from the previous year. Across the South East, there was 35,000 animal cruelty cases investigated last year, which is an overall rise of 4%. It works out around 97 complaints investigated every day or four every hour, which is quite a shocking statistic.
It is, isn't it?
It's
quite staggering.
It is. We've obviously covered the incidents as and when they come up, and one of them, you might remember, included the RSPCA dealing with a bucket full of lurcher puppies, which had been callously dumped on a cottage doorstep in Chobham just before Christmas. And there was numerous other incidents, which I won't go into too much detail on air because they're quite shocking cases. But all the details are in the paper this week, and it's quite a sad read, really, kind of reading the number of incidents the RSPCA has to go out to and deal with, and the amount of welfare-related complaints.
Yes, terrible statistic, isn't it? Yes. I wonder whether there's better reporting these days of pushing the statistics.
Well, yeah, that probably does come into it as well. And hopefully with the kind of RSPCA kind of highlighting these details, you'd like to think that it would kind of, you know, promote it in the sense that people would be more aware of it and report it, but also, you know, be not tolerant of anything they see happening.
Absolutely. Now, a traffic survey leads to fears over monitoring.
Yeah, we had some calls this week about some mysterious cameras that were put up around Walton and Hersham. They actually turned out to be traffic surveillance cameras that had been put up around the area. And they've raised some concerns of a Big Brother-style monitoring. There's 16 cameras and 6 road vehicle counters that were actually connected to the Drake Park proposal for more than 1,000 homes in the Greenbelt land off Molesey Road in Walton. They were installed around the Barley Mow roundabout, along Molesey Road and Field Common Lane, and at the halfway traffic lights. I think a lot of people would have seen them kind of driving to and from work this week. It's actually understood that Drake Park developer Bonnet Allen is either preparing an appeal or a second application after their first one was refused by Elmbridge councillors in November. Now, we did some digging to find out what these cameras were there for, and it was a bit of a stretch for our reporter Tom because it was being passed from one person to the other, I think. Surrey County Council, as the highways authority, had not been given any precise reason why the cameras had been installed. However, a spokesman did say that they understood that they were put up by a company called Streetwise, who do traffic surveys, and they were doing one on behalf of James Daly and the Stillwell Partnership. Now, Stillwell produced a traffic assessment for the original Drake Park application. So we obviously went to Bonner Allen, who did confirm that a week-long traffic survey did start on Sunday, and some have been taken down since. So obviously we're interested to see what comes out from this so-called traffic survey and seeing what their next move is, with either a new planning application or an appeal on the last one.
Interesting, yes, and good digging there by Tom. Well done.
When you said it was work, Tom.
Yeah, when you said it's a bit of a stretch, I thought he was trying to reach up to the cameras.
Yeah, no, exactly. I don't think he did any tampering. It's fine.
All right.
But interestingly, just on that story as well, because it did kind of raise some eyebrows. These cameras coming up, there didn't appear to be any signs kind of explaining what was going on. So one of the Walton councillors, Christine Elmer, has actually written to the Information Commissioner's Office, which is the independent body responsible for data protection, to ask if the cameras had actually breached any privacy laws. So that's one for us to watch as well and see whether they kind of were doing the right thing.
It does raise the question, really, about permissions for these things to go up, doesn't it?
Exactly,
and whether that was all gone through as well.
Yeah.
But anyway, controversial scheme. It was going to see a lot of housing in that area, wasn't it? I think stretching from the Molesey Road towards Esher.
Yes. Yeah, and I think a lot of residents were quite relieved when it was turned down by the council last year. So, as I say, we'll be watching that one and see what comes next.
Right, I know. The railway arch at Hersham Station was one of the issues, wasn't it, as being a bottleneck? They ought to be putting a camera in there. Anyway, updated fleet, more trains, and promises from a new network operator.
So a big story this week for across the county, really. Obviously, a lot of people use the trains to get to work and for pleasure as well. So big changes possibly on the horizon as Southwest Trains lost out to a rival bidder to run the rail franchise for the next 7 years, with the Department of Transport announcing on Monday that First MTR Southwestern Trains Limited, a bit of a mouthful, had been awarded the contract. Now, Transport Secretary Chris Grayling had said that they delivered the biggest rail modernisation programme for over a century, and this franchise will deliver real changes for passengers who can look forward to modern trains, faster journeys and a more reliable service. So very exciting promises on that list.
And the irony of it, of course, is most of these upgrades are already planned under the existing operator, of course.
Yeah, exactly.
But they won't see them in.
Apparently they've got this £1.2 billion worth of investment, so we're, and they're taking over in August, so obviously some big changes to come. But it does, obviously, we don't know exactly what the impact is going to be as of yet, but there's kind of across the county, there's different issues coming up. Obviously, Southwest Trains, they do have their faults, and there's going to be late trains and problems here and there. They don't have currently such a bad reputation as Southern Rail, which won't be swapping franchise for a couple of years, I believe. So possibly some commuters over on that end are a bit disappointed by that. But we'll be interested to see what changes, if any, this new franchise makes. There's issues, as I say, across the county. One of them, I know, North Surrey, around Staines Ashford, they were trying to rally Southwest Trains to extend the Zone 6 out to include the stations, so that passengers were able to use an Oyster card, because it currently finishes at Felton, which is just one stop away from Ashford. So I will be speaking to them later to see what impact that will have on their campaign. At the moment, I believe they're being quite positive about it, but I don't know whether they're going to need to start their discussions again with this new company, or whether they'll be happy to kind of take it forward. So
it's all
possibly interesting changes on the horizon.
Yeah, I think it's probably with the Department for Transport, really, because it's all to do with the money. There we go.
Indeed.
One of the controversies, of course, the new franchise takes over on the 20th of August, right in the middle of the major blockade and works at Waterloo.
Yeah, so, it'll be an interesting month for commuters down there. Everyone should go on holiday.
Yeah, I think if nothing else, it's going to be good news for paint manufacturers and logo designers.
Yeah, it's going to be strange not seeing the usual kind of red, yellow, blue Southwest Trains. So that'll be one of the biggest changes that we see straight off.
So it's a farewell to Stagecoach, who, in fact, I think have had the franchise since it started 21 years ago. They're one of the very first franchised operators.
Okay,
Charlotte, well, thank you so much for taking us through all the local news this week, and we look forward to talking to you again soon.
Will do. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. This has been Brooklyn's Radio News Review with Graham Laycock, and from the Surrey Advertiser, Charlotte Talbot. You can hear the Surrey News Review every Friday at 1 p.m. and 7 p.m. on Brooklyn's Radio. It's compiled by the Surrey Advertiser, and you can keep up to date at getsurrey.co.uk.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, why not keep up to date with the Sound of Surrey by listening live at brooklandsradio.co.uk or through our free mobile app.